Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hotspur podcast. It is 9 o'clock on Tuesday, the 21st of May, 2013. I'm Steve. I am in Leon C in Essex. We've got Colin. He's in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Carl?
Yes, not too bad, mate. Could be better, but not too bad.
Dreadful. Feel terrible.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad, guys. Definitely not. We will get straight into it, mate. It's not that bad.
So, Sunderland at home. Mm-hmm. Where were you? In the front room?
I was in the front room. Everybody was told to leave. There was no kids, no wife, no anybody. Because it was either going to be a day of shouting at the TV and screaming, or a day of just sitting there and not knowing what's going on. But look, I found it quite strange. And obviously, I'll tell you from my end of it, and you can tell me what it was like round the ground. But I actually wasn't that nervous. And I think what it was, deep down, I sort of knew that, like, it's just not going to be our day again. It never happens to us. I was praying that it would happen for us. I put up a few pictures on Facebook, you know, about Believe, you know, trying all the positive thinking. But I think deep down, we sort of knew Newcastle away for the scum. You know, Newcastle, nothing to play for. I know Mike Geisley put out this £1 million, you know, for non-playing staff.
For the tea lady.
Yeah, but I think we sort of knew, you know, Arsenal would always get a goal there, and you know it was always going to be tough. But I think the biggest frustration, what I got more annoyed about, you know, to go into the game was the decisions by the referee, and that we hadn't put the game to bed. And I was sitting there in the 89th minute, more annoyed that we hadn't won the game before Bale scored that wonder goal. And that's what was annoying me more so than Arsenal were winning and that we weren't going to get top four. It was just another frustrating game.
Yeah. There's a few points you got there. I mean, obviously, you know, about the nerves. I was dreadfully nervous. I've been for about 2 months or all season, maybe. I mean, it's, you know, football is... has become this thing that has just taken over all our lives. And I wish it wouldn't. Maybe it won't now. Maybe we have to do that thing. I mean, with England, I lost interest with them, a couple of tournaments ago. And I just said, I build myself up so much for these tournaments. You know, you got we have a great side, 1-11, even on squad players. And we just absolutely mess it up every single time. We haven't even played a decent, World Cup game, I don't think, for about 20 years. You know, European game, maybe since we beat Holland in Euro 96 was the last decent England game I ever saw. And so the last World Cup game, I just thought, you know, I'm just, you know, not interested anymore. And it wasn't, it was a load of rubbish again. So, you know, maybe with Spurs now, we better, you know, just take a little look at it and go, let's not get hyped up anymore. We're a decent side. We're going to do all right. But it is so, so hard. You know, whatever we do, we just cannot get into that Champions League. And I just think that I'd like us to, next season, you know, we'll get into all this as we go along, but let's just forget about this whole Champions League thing. You know, we've been banging on about the fact that it's not important anyway for years and years. You know, and this year we've said, you know, we want to do it this year because it's so important and what have you. But let's get back to the Spurs of old, you know, going to Wembley, winning cups, you know, finishing, you know, top eight, top nine. Because really, what point is there getting into the top four anyway? You know, last time, what did we do? We had a couple of great games against the Milan sides. No one remembers really the 20 games or the Werner Bremen games, do we? Yeah, it was all right. It was great, you know, celebrating everything. But really, it was all about the Inter Milan game and the AC Milan games. And even those games, you know, we lost one and it was all about Bale. But you know, we'll kind of again go all over the place here. But I just think that, you know, Spurs is all we kind of did the Arsenal thing on Sunday. You know, it was all about the top four. That's what it was. We became Arsenal. And I don't want to do that. We know we're not, you know, league, good enough for the league. because of the money and the stadium and all that other stuff, we're punching above our weight if we think we're going to get, you know, top three, top four. Let's do what we do best, which is entertain everybody, have fantastic football, and go to Wembley.
Look, I know what you're saying, and I agree to you at a certain point, but, you know, the problem nowadays with modern football is that, you know, money is talking, and, you know, there's been a few things on Twitter and Facebook, and I've had a lot of stick from Arsenal supporters, even Man United and Chelsea guys that I know over here having a go. And, you know, what I've come back to and we've said is, look, you've got to remember, guys, we are a massive club, but we're sitting in a stadium that holds 36,000 people. We don't have the money. We can't pay the wages of all these top players. But unfortunately, the way things are today, being in the Champions League for financial end is the be-all and end-all to a lot of people. I agree with what you're saying. You know, I actually, about a month ago, said to myself that I wasn't going to get myself worked up anymore. Just a bit like what you're saying, because I was, Steve, and we're being honest here tonight, I was cracking up. I was watching these games, and I was cracking. And I couldn't talk to anybody. And then the next day, I went, the first thing I thought about when I woke up in the morning going to work was, oh, I can't believe we didn't win last night. And then I went to myself, hold on, what are you doing? You know, if we jump back 5, 6, 7 years ago where Spurs were, we weren't even thinking about being up there for European football. We were just happy to be up fighting maybe for the top six. You know, God, will we get into the top six this year and maybe get into the UEFA Cup? That's what it was like, and it was a lot more enjoyable. But I think the big thing for us all this season, what it was very important to us, because we are worried about losing the likes of Gareth Bale. Now, personally, we'll get into it as well. I do think that we will keep him, and I think that he will stay for another season. But he's been so important, and he was magnificent again. Another wonder goal on Sunday. But we don't want to lose this guy. And I think that's where everybody's got worked up. Oh, we've got to get the Champions League. We've got to keep this guy.
Well, how did you think he played against Sunderland?
Well, I didn't think he was great.
Right. I think he had a strop on for most of the game. He particularly had a strop on after the definite penalty. And he absolutely stropped out the whole game. Yeah. And the other thing is that whenever we got the ball, we gave it straight to him. I've never seen Lennon give it away so much when he's got a clear run on goal. And Defoe as well, when he came on. In that last 10, 20 minutes, the number of times we were attacking and they just gave it straight to Bale. It was like, yeah, you have it. You do what you want with it. And it was frustrating. And as you would say. But,
yeah, so frustrating.
Yeah, but... talk about being a one-man team. It is like all the other Spurs players felt that as well. And he did rescue us in the end. So that they were right, I suppose, in the end. But Bale wasn't playing particularly well.
Yeah, and he hasn't done really, Steve, since the injury. Yes, he's pulled out a few goals. He hasn't really done, you know, like Chelsea away, he might as well have not been on the pitch. But on Sunday, I felt, now, I can't blame him for getting frustrated. I don't know what it was like on the ground, but it was the most blatant penalty, and I couldn't believe it. I went, the last game of the season, we are going to get a penalty, and I was actually laughing when it happened. And then I realised that he hadn't given it either.
Yeah, and see how far the referee is away from it.
Terrible.
And
terrible.
You just think, you know, there's certain rules in football, and this is one of the most ridiculous. Now, if a referee doesn't think it's a penalty, he automatically books the player for diving. Rather than saying, you know what, I can't give it because I'm not 100% sure. You know, he still get pelters, but he then books the player that completely and utterly put him off his game, rightly or wrongly, for the next 60 minutes.
You're right. And Steve, actually, you sit in the West Stand, you're really in line with the 18-yard box there. What was your view? Because your view roughly would have been near enough what the linesman was saying. Well, did you think it was a penalty?
Well, my view was that I didn't know whether it was or not, and I'd also didn't know whether he dived or not. So if I was a referee, and I was about as far away from the referee as the referee was, he was 50 yards, he was on the halfway line running back, how can he possibly see that? And, you know, and if he's boss at the end of it, you know, whoever's the referee in the stand watching, assessing the game, says, oh, why didn't you give a yellow card there? if you thought it wasn't a penalty? And he'd hold his both hands up and go, because to be honest with you, I really didn't see if it was a penalty or not, but I couldn't possibly book the guy because it's the last day of the season. And I think if I'd have booked him, people might have said, oh, you only booked him because he died before, and that would have been really unprofessional of me. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. You know,
he was an absolute joke.
He's judged him on his previous diving, you know, which happened, by the way, at the start of the season, because a lot of the other supposed dives weren't actually dives.
That's right.
And so he has judged him completely on his reputation. Rather than the actual incident, surely.
It was a joke. And then what my thoughts as well then come half time were, obviously someone has, there's no way that referee goes into his referee's room and nobody says anything to him. There's so many TV screens and media people about. Obviously the fourth official would have seen something. You know, surely someone would have said something, look, mate, you got this wrong. You know, that was a pure, you know, 100% stonewall penalty.
Yeah. So then
he comes out in the second half and Coulard dives with both hands.
Yeah.
Saves the ball. It actually went to the crowd, and like if there was 200 people in the shot, every one of them shouted handball.
Yeah.
And for him not to give that again, I lost it.
I just don't know where these referees, you know, what they're thinking. Do they think I better not give something to the team that desperately needs it, because then it will seem like I'm giving it to the team that desperately needs it? Do you know what I mean? It's like they give the decisions to Man United. They give the decisions to the Chelseas when it's a 50-50. Because it's almost like they're going, well, if I give it the other way. Whereas when I referee, and I referee kids football, if the other side are 2-0 up, and I think it's a 50-50 the other way, I'll give it. Because I think, you know what? Give them a bit of a break. Uh-huh. But what happens with these refs is they kind of go, oh, no, I better not give that 50-50 decision. Because if I give it, they'll say, oh, I'm just giving it because I didn't give the other one or something like that. You know, this is, they've got to remember that this is, you know, football, it's entertainment. It's not just about giving decisions to, you know, it's almost psychological. Oh, I better not give it because then they might think da 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 da. You know, just give the decision to the, you know, if it's a 50-50 like that and you've missed the other one, which you know you have clearly, give the decision and let these fans and the footballing world have a bit of entertainment for the last half an hour of the season, for goodness sake.
That's right. And there was good points made by the interviewer to AVB after the game that he said to AVB, do you think, if you had have got the early goal, the early penalty, would it have maybe changed what was going on, you know, at St James's Park? And AVB said yes, and I agree, because all of a sudden the 5,000 Arsenal fans that were down there hear that Spurs are winning 1-0, and at that stage they were drawing 0 each. You know, attention goes round the ground. The Newcastle supporters obviously would have let a massive roar out of them. You know, they would have been up singing, Champions League, you're having a laugh. Yes, and
but the other, on the other hand, they could have gone and won 4-0. So you don't know.
But I think it would have put a lot of pressure on Arsenal. Yeah. I really do. But you know, look, I'm not going to waste our whole show about the referee. He was a joke. It happens to us so many times. It was like that tube last year at Wembley when he gave Chelsea. There's always something.
And I've said it, and I've said it all season. I might as well say it today again. When we play a game against a massive game, I just want us to be sitting there going, that referee was a joke. I can't believe we got that decision, because I don't think I've ever said it. And if I have said it, I mean, you know, please, listeners, let me know. But I don't think I've ever said it. You know,
that's right. It would be you could count it in one hand, Steve, probably over the last 5 years. But you know, just to round off the game and the day for us, Steve, you know, what was it like after the final whistle, obviously? We'll put it out there now. Gemma Stubbles, who was on the show the other week, I got a great picture and put it on Facebook. I was actually sitting watching Sky Sports, and it went from the Newcastle game. It jumped back to White Hart Lane, and Gareth Bale was just coming out the tunnel. And who was there on the TV but our very own Gemma handing out the awards? So I quickly pressed the pause button on my Sky Plus and got the iPhone out and got a picture of her. So brilliant to see her there, and Did she give us a message, Steve, on the pitch?
She was the highlight of the day because she also turned up at the Bell and Hare.
Oh, brilliant. Bell and Hare Club.
Yeah, she's a member of the Bell and Hare Club. We all said hello to her. She was fantastic. She mixed it with us for about 15 minutes before disappearing. Like a cool, you know, one of these cool guys who come along and go, right, I'm going. You're like, oh, you know, I want to talk more. But no, she disappeared. Off she went. She was fantastic. And she was sitting right behind me. Right in front of me. You know, down in the lower tier there. And, apparently she had a fantastic day, but she missed the goal because the manager guy came and said, come on, you've got to come now and get ready to present the award. So she missed the goal. Dear. But when we scored the goal, I must say, you know, it was the most, for the most wonderful goal that it was like the most muted of celebrations. You know, we jumped up and we sort of clapped and it was like, yeah, well done. Yeah. But we all knew the result. And by the way, I had the old little radio in. So when the opposite side of the ground started cheering for the Newcastle goal, I knew. So I was going, it's not a goal. So our side didn't do anything. The other side did it. And all I could think was, God, that's going to get replayed over and over again. So anyway, look, mate, let's have a little poem from Davey and then we'll come back and do some more.
Okay.
Well, the votes have been counted and verified. And top four this year will go to the Woolwich Wanderers called Arsenal. By 1 point, they are in the right to go through. And who will we blame but ourselves, I'm afraid? We shouldn't rely on others to help out. Did we not learn this lesson last season, as Bayern Munich give Chelsea the shout? We can look at so many failings, but also much, much more of a positive thing. Look at the total of points return. That is the first season AVB he did bring. And I look forward to next year with intrepidation. I want to see Levy back us this year. A few new faces will work wonders, so get that tightly sealed checkbook into gear. Overall, I'm not really that disappointed, as I realise the battles we've faced. The new managerial position, Ledley King, Rafa and Luca not replaced. Defoe not consistent and aids off his form, with Sandro a massive huge blow. Kabul will be back in the summer, maybe then we can let Gallus go. So fear not as we continue to battle, as I'm sure what's ahead will be fine. The future's bright and it's lily white, and we have to believe it's next time. Thanks to Steve and Colin for everything you've done, guys. Come on, you Spurs.
Okay, and we are back, and we've got a brilliant poem there, Davey. He was in the old Bell and Hare on Sunday, having a laugh with us.
Yeah, great poem as usual, Davey, and thanks for the wee shout out at the end for myself and Steve. Really appreciate it, mate. And thanks to you as well for all the poems that you've done over the whole season. They've been brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Well, the big question is, he going to go in the summer?
No, the Spurs poet will always be with us.
Now, another guy that was in the Bell and Hare, a founder member of the Bell and Hare Club, is Adam Currier, and he's over from Kuala Lumpur. And he is on the line with us now. How are you doing, Adam?
Yeah, I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Well, not really. I'm gutted, and I don't think I'm going to get over it until the middle of August.
88 days to go. 88 days to go, boys.
88 days to go. See, this guy is a massive Spurs fan. We're just talking about the game there. Colin actually asked me, he said, what was the mood like after the game? I mean, I felt it was completely flat. I didn't really celebrate Gareth Bale's goal. How did you see it, Adam, you know, towards the end of the game and after the game? What happened?
Well, I mean, I think it was quite obvious that the atmosphere was sort of very nervous. I mean, we obviously celebrated when the goal went in. I mean, after the game, yeah. I mean, we went over to another pub after the game, and the atmosphere was okay. I think people were sort of putting everything into perspective, but I mean, there was obvious disappointment. There wasn't as many people drinking as would normally be.
Yeah.
But
which did you go, Bricklayers?
Just trying to get over it. I think more than anything.
Which pub did you go to?
I went to the Bricklayers.
Oh, the Bricklayers, yeah.
Bricklayers, yeah. Good pub. Good Northern Ireland pub, Adam. I hope you notice all the Northern Ireland football teams are all round the bar, all the flags and scarves and things. It's actually a guy from back here that owns that bar. So it's a great atmosphere in it. But No, you're right on what you're saying, and we had sort of said earlier on the show, you know, it was a strange day. It was sort of, you nearly expected, you know, Arsenal to win the game. And it was sort of after, you know, you sort of went, oh, just can't believe it. It's just never meant to be ours. But I think we all just sort of got on with it. We're all got it, but it's just typical Spurs, mate.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So going forward, Adam, I mean, what's your view on, you know, what we need in the closed season? What do you think is, you know, top of the shopping list, if you like?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put any specific names out there, but business early is the most important thing for me. Yeah. I mean, just putting confidence in the squad. I mean, everyone knows our shining light is Gareth Bale, okay? And you need to make sure that he's encouraged that the team is going to be built to match his ambitions, to match all of our ambitions at the end of the day. And the early business will allow the team to prepare properly for the start of next season. It will give AVB his first proper full pre-season with the squad. And from there, I mean, it can only get better. I mean, the progression over the last 2-3 years, I mean, from Harry to AVB, and now we've just recorded our best points total ever. For me, that still speaks volumes that we are progressing as a club. So,
of course,
it does. To get stuff done early is the most important thing. I mean, you know, I mean, whatever names come in, you know, you've got to back them. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you've got to back them. And if it's somebody like David Villa, then if he gets to grips with the Premier League straight away and scores some goals, then fantastic. So,
yeah, I mean, you're a prime example, Adam, because I can ask you this question. You moved to Kuala Lumpur, what was it, a year ago?
Yeah, about
right now. I don't know exactly what you do. Are you in the market? So I'm a financial sort of thing.
I'm an accountant.
Right. So imagine you walk in. You know, you've got a job out there, okay? And you got, you know, you've had your 9 months, and you know you've done really, really well. You know, you haven't quite done exactly. You know, you've missed off by 1 point. You know, £1. Of what you should have done, and your boss turns around to you and goes, "Well, that's not good enough. See you later." I mean, that's what I feel people are saying about AVB, who my goodness, I mean, give blokes a chance, for goodness sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree.
Imagine
someone said
that to you right now, when you go back to Kuala Lumpur and say, "Oh, we've had a look at the figures. You're actually a pound off what we wanted. You know, we won't give you another year to sort it out, to learn from your mistakes, even though you earned, you know, load more than we got last year." You'd be like, what?
I'd be fuming.
Of course you would. You know?
But it's crazy that AVB actually on Sunday after the game, it was on Twitter, you know, that he was getting, you know, a lot of stick from some supporters. But sometimes I find the social media end of things very frustrating. I think a lot of guys that might not be proper Spurs fans just put things out there just to get conversations going. But look, I know for us, and I put a statement on Twitter after the game, you know, that I was absolutely delighted with AVB. For the guy to come in his first season, and he was under massive, massive pressure to do well at Spurs because of what had happened at Chelsea. And I, for one, think he had a brilliant season. And as Adam says there, you know, most points in the Premier League. You know, we can't fault the guy, and I only believe we'll get stronger with him. And Adam's right. The big thing is, and I think he will do it, he'll try and get the business done early this time.
Yeah. We can talk about where he needs to improve, and you know, he's a type of bright lad who I think will improve and decide on different things. And we've seen it through the year he's done that. Adam, just finally, so we've talked about what possible signings. We haven't really gone into it yet because, you know, it's all, you know, very, very mild speculation at the moment. But for you, I mean, let's wind the clock forward, 365 days. What would be a good season next year? You know, something that we'd all think, you know, oh, brilliant. You know, that's another good season for Spurs. What would be good for next year?
That's a tough question because my answer always tends to lean to finishing above Arsenal, even though we've never done it.
Is that the priority, or is it winning the League Cup? Is it winning the Europa Cup, the FA Cup? Is it what is it for you?
I mean, I think a lot of fans have a different perspective. For me, I would prefer to see us win a trophy and give the Champions League another real push like this season. And I think if And going back to what I said before, if we get the business done early, we can get the right players in, then we'll have the sort of squad that can compete. I mean, I saw on I saw a lot of things on Twitter today that the arguments that we shouldn't really go for the Europa League and we should concentrate on the Champions League. And somebody came along and said, well, what's the difference between playing on a Thursday and playing on a Sunday to playing on a Wednesday and then playing on a Saturday? I mean, you need the squad that's going to be able to play midweek and at the weekend, regardless of which competition you're in. So, I guess going back to your original question, I would prefer to see us really mount a challenge at a domestic cup to start with.
Yeah.
I'm totally
with you on that, because, you know, that is the Spurs way. You know, we've been sucked into this top four thing, therefore we haven't done well in the cups this year. And, you know, we've been sucked into this whole let's do top four. And, you know, all in all, you know, I haven't had my day out at Wembley, which I have three out of the last 4 years. And it's been the best days of being a Spurs fan, even though we've been absolutely rubbish when we've got there. You know, it's been great to go there. And anyway, mate, look, we're going to let you go, but we'll have another chat with you another time.
Yeah, I've just got one last thing to say to Adam. Adam, while I have you, fantasy football. Now, why did you have so many scum players? Were you not listening to me?
Come on.
Have you been doing shows over the last few weeks?
Oh, yes.
Right.
I apologise for that. I will learn and I will do better next year, I promise.
You learn. Next year, it's definitely going to be put, and anybody with scum players, I'm just going to have to delete them. They won't even be in the league.
Right, remember that. We're saying that right now. Next year, no scum players, or Arsenal players, I should say.
Yes.
All right, Adam. Cheers, mate.
Okay, cheers, Steve. Cheers,
mate. Good to talk to you.
Bye now. Bye.
Take care, bye.
There we go. Another massive Spurs fan on the Spurs podcast.
Superb. I just wanted to get a dig in at Adam because, unfortunately for him and six other guys, their names aren't being read out tonight at the end of the fantasy, but Adam knows it's all good fun. Good fun.
He's a good lad.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. So, back to,
Would you want me to get fantasy football out of the way?
Yes, please.
Since you just mentioned it. Obviously, this is the final league table, and I'll read it out. And I have stuck to my guns. This is the top 10 without scum players. There were six people in the original top 10 that had scum players in it. So, unfortunately, guys, just haven't made the final top 10. So number one and the winner is James Wallace. And James, myself and Steve, if you're on Twitter or on Facebook, get in touch with us with private mail, and we'll either give you a call or we'll get a small price.
Just was he the actual first?
No, he was actually second. There was another guy, but James Wallace is the winner in my eyes. Second place is the Spurs poet, David Elder. Then third place was Jonathan Maloney. Myself, Colin McKee, I jumped then up into fourth place. Fifth was Martin McDonagh. Sixth was our good friend Lee Moore, who we actually had on the show a few weeks ago. Seven, Terry Tyner. Eight, Mike Palente from America. Ninth place was Patrick Morris, and in tenth was Kirk Fawtech. Steve, you finished in 56th place. You dropped down. You're just outside my bottom five. So very, very disappointed in you, Steve.
Next year I'm going to do it properly.
Okay, good man. Bottom of the league. Now I'm going to give this guy a massive shout out here. The very, very bottom is our good friend Lee Townsend. Now Lee has actually just been over in Southern Ireland, in Ireland there, for a wedding. And I was hoping he might have made a trip up to the north, up to Belfast, but he didn't. But Lee, he came last, mate. So, so got it. I thought Lee definitely would have been up fighting for the top 10. So Lee came last, and then there was Martin Oak, my other good friend Jackie Hunter from Coleraine, Richard Thompson, and Martin Gibbons. And just finally, the most points this week with a great total of 91 was Mike Palente, again from America. So well done, Mike. Had a look at your team there, and I noticed that you had Kevin Nolan, you had Lukaku, you had Gareth Bale, you know, you had all those guys that got their hat tricks and the gold. So, well done, Mike, brilliant. But look, guys, fantasy football has been superb. There's been good fun there with obviously the Arsenal players being in some people's. Look, it's all fun and games, and I've really enjoyed doing it. And hopefully next year we can try and get, you know, like we had over 80 people in the league. So next year we'll put a big push to try and get, you know, at least a couple of hundred people in there and have a good laugh again. But
yeah, I'll give it a go next year, definitely. Now, look, have we got any shout-outs?
Yeah, well, I just want to do one quick shout-out, and it's from a good friend of mine. It's a guy called Paul. And what me and Paul always text each other during the games. And he sent me a great text. It was about probably a couple of hours after the match. And I just thought it was really worth a read out. So I'll read it out as quick as I can here.
Go for it.
He put, "We shall go marching on." He wants to get out of the Europa League as soon as possible and concentrate on the league. That's the way Paul's thinking. He said, "Look, the scum can play in the Champions League because they've no chance of winning it anyhow. And hopefully that'll, you know, scupper their chances of getting in top four again next year." He also said, "AVB wants the signings in early, which is a good news. I have faith in him. He knows what he's talking about and is the right man to take us forward. Gareth Bale will stay. Get us a few good players in and we can push on. Don't forget, guys, there's positives to take from this season. The most wins away from home and the most points in our Premier League history. We were just once again very, very unlucky. Roll on next season and we will finish above the scum. Come on, you Spurs." So I just thought I was sort of sitting, you know, depressed a couple of hours after the game. I got that text from Paul and it sort of cheered me up and I went, you know what, he's right. There's so many positives, Steve, you know, that we can take out of this year. And as usual, last year we finished fourth, but Chelsea won the Champions League. First time it's ever happened. This year, a team finishing with 72 points. Hasn't happened before, but they don't get in the Champions League. Who's it happened to? It's happened to us.
It's
crazy.
Never has a team had food poisoning before the last game of the season.
Right. That's right.
What was it the other year? We finished in the quarterfinals, but didn't manage to get into the top four. So, you know, there's been all sorts of things. I mean, people have said to me, "Oh, it's all ifs and buts." And it's really, you know, those sort of phrases annoy the hell out of me. And people who say, "In my opinion," people who say it's all ifs and buts, people who say it's all excuses. I mean, it's like you can't have a conversation anymore without someone saying, "Well, that's all ifs and buts." And you're like, "Well, yeah, because that's how you talk to somebody, isn't it?" You know, you don't just say, "Oh, well, you got fifth and we got fourth." You know, an Arsenal fan, you go, "Yeah, but if that, you know, if you wouldn't have played Man United when they already won the league, they would have probably steamrolled you." "Well, that's all ifs and buts." "All right, well, then we won't have the discussion then." Do you know what I mean? And then you go, and then you say, and plus the fact that we, you know, you say something else. You know, Alan Pardew, you know, said that comment about 4-0. Yeah, he didn't even care. Well, I remember when Alan Pardew said that last season. He said that just before we played us. He said, "We're doing really well in the league and we'll go to White Hart Lane and we'll just enjoy ourselves." And what happened? We won 5-0. So we know how Alan Pardew sets up his team when they don't care about it. You know, "Oh, it's all excuses." No, again, we're just having a conversation. I mean, these are the conversations I've been having this week. And, you know, it does your head in because you're trying to have these conversations and then someone says, "Well, that's your opinion." You go, "Well, yes, I said it." You know, why do you have to pre-empty everything with an "in my opinion" or ifs and buts and, you know, all this sort of stuff? It does your head in. And, you know, I love talking about football and that's all I ever want to do and all I ever do. And, someone said to me, I think it was Adam actually at the pub, he said, "Why'd you do the show?" And I said, "Because it's great, because you get to say what you want, and you know, me and you don't interrupt each other often, although I'd sometimes interrupt you if I've had a couple of beers. But, you know, you get to say all your bits without someone saying, "Well, it's all lifting bats," and you go, "Well, hang on a minute." You know, it's a complete conversation. Yeah. I'm going to say a couple more points, but Cole, have you got anything else to say?
No, just sort of sticking on the shout out, Steve. I'm sure you'll agree with me. You know, I said earlier there, you know, Davy Elder, the Spurs poet, you know, it's not the end of season for us. We're going to still try and do a few shows over the summer. But a massive shout out to Davy, Steve. You know, he really hard work. He has to go away and record it, email it off to yourself, you know, and then obviously you do all the work, you know, of uploading it on. So look, massive shout out to Davy. Also, Martin Heiser has done massive work on Twitter and on Facebook for us. Also, Dan Jones, again, he's one of our admins on Facebook, doing brilliant work there, Dan. So, you know, and all the other guys that have contributed, and all you guys that listen to us, because our listeners have went up through the roof. We've got, you know, we won't put any numbers on it, but we've got loads and loads of listeners now.
Yeah.
And for us, and especially the guys out in America, how good has it been, Steve, chatting to those guys?
Yeah, it's been, you know, brilliant.
I'd be listening to the show and I'd go, oh my goodness, someone in America's sitting listening to my stupid voice talking about Spurs, you know. So look, it's really good.
You're the talent.
I wouldn't say that now. But also one shout out that I will give as well is to yourself, Steve. You know, a lot of guys don't realise, you know, Steve does all the editing. He does all the work for the show. He phones me up on Skype and I can just sit here with my headphones and talk to you. But Steve has to then sit for another good hour, 2 hours after and get everything sorted. So Steve, look, massive thanks to you, mate, for doing it, because I'm literally just another voice at the end of the line. So cheers, mate, for all your work there.
You're the talent. You come up with all the catchphrases.
So frustrating. I love it. I'm definitely getting a t-shirt with it.
Wow, did you like my little thing I made on there?
I couldn't. I didn't like the picture. Now you never know. Maybe Mazza at the N17 club stall might want to get it so frustrating t-shirts done.
I want to say to the fans who listen to the show, not fans of the show, or maybe fans of the show, I don't know, who listen to the show, I love all the contributions and people who download it, and please subscribe, because you get the show straight away if you do it that way. You don't have to pay anything, it's all free. We've never asked for any money. The only thing I ask is around New Year, just to contribute to Virgin Money Giving, if I'm going to run the marathon, which I'm going to do next year again for NSPCC. But also I love it when you make a little comment and someone comes back with something maybe a bit negative, and then you sort of explain it and they go, oh yeah, LOL, or, you know, oh yeah, I understand what you mean. They're the decent people. What I can't stand is people who criticize you and then you say something back and you either don't get anything back, or, you know, it's they go left field with the conversation. I mean, that's why I'm from now. I'm actually going to come off Twitter, because, you know, you try and make a couple of jovial points about this, that and the other, or try and move the conversation forward a little bit, and you just get shot down. So I'm going to announce to the world now that Colin, you're going to be the Twitter man. So
okay.
If you're on Twitter, then any comments that are made by Colin, and on Facebook or I'll very rarely contribute on Facebook, but if I do, I'll put my name. But mostly it'll be Dan, and he normally puts his name, or it'll be Colin. But I'm not really interested in making those comments, because also I'm an extremely sarcastic person, and you cannot be sarcastic on Twitter, because as soon as you say things like, you know, oh no, if we lose Bow, isn't it the end of the world? You know, that doesn't come across. It comes across as if we lose Bow, it's the end of the world. When that's not at all what I mean, you know.
I know.
And I did that list, didn't I? If we, you know, we've lost Hoddle, we've lost Waddle, we've lost Gazza, we lost Lineker, we lost Klinsmann, we lost Ginola, we lost Berbatov, we lost Modric. And every single time we lost those players, everyone said, oh, what are we going to do? We're selling our best players. That's the end of it. And it's not. It's not. We find someone else, we get on. But what I was trying to do with that Bale conversation yesterday was I was trying to move it on, because everyone was saying the same thing. It was either he'll stay because he's got a new baby, because he loves it at Spurs, because he can play where he wants, because he's going to get loads more money. And someone else was saying, no, he's going to go because he wants to win trophies. He wants to go earn more money. He wants to go Real Madrid. He wants to go. And I was thinking, right, okay, well, you're saying that side, you're saying that side. I was trying to come up with something new. You know, so I was trying to think, right, okay, well, let's progress the conversation. What if Bale does go? What's going to be the side? And I put this our side out as it is, and I said, well, that's our best side, plus 50 million. And some bright spark came back and said, oh, we never finished top four with that. And you're like, well, wait there. You know, all right, well, we won't say anything then. So all I'm going to do is do my bit on Twitter on this podcast. And I'm not going to bother with Twitter anymore, I don't think.
you'll be back.
But just going back to that point, you know, I did my first 11. You know, it's very good as it is, I think. But also plus 50 million for Bale. So what you're thinking is, you know, that's the get a left back if Benny's not interested. I mean, if Benny turns around and says, no, I want to stay at Spurs and I want to do my best for him, you know, he's good enough for me. But yeah. You know, if he shows, you know, I'm not really that interested, then fine. You know, we get another left back. Christ, it's a left back. You know, how can we not find a decent left back? And then you know, going to spend the rest of the money on a brilliant striker. I mean, we lost Waddle one season. We got Lineker in. Can we not do something similar? And Waddle's my hero.
Yeah, look, it's really. I was speaking to the Spurs pod about this the other day. It's going to be a really interesting summer this year. I personally believe that we will keep Bale, but there's players there that if we can bring in certain players, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. There's no reason, as you say, with or without Gareth Bale, that we can't push on. We always bring in players. I'll fire one out to you as a left back. Did you watch the Copa del Rey final?
No.
Constant Troy, hopefully I've pronounced that right, the Portuguese left back.
Yeah. I did watch the Benfica Chelsea game, and I thought those Benfica players were terrific.
Yeah, very good. God, but what I'm showing out as a left back for this guy.
Yeah, sure.
This guy actually turned up on the bench, and there's great footage of it. In his kit, he was a sub. He went and sat down, and Casillas and the other players, Benzema and things, started laughing at him. The guy had actually been dropped from the squad, but nobody had told him. And it ended up he had to leave. He had to go and ask one of the coaches. And he had to leave the ground and that go and put his tracksuit on and go and sit in the stand. Now, there's one guy's definitely going to be available.
Yeah.
There's my shout-out for the left-back for next season.
So,
and when we do other shows, you know, here we'll get into transfer rumours and who was sort of fancy to bring in. But we're not far. As you say, Steve, if Bale went and we even got 50 million and we brought in 3-4 really top players, To me, we'll still push on.
Of course we will. I mean, and I'm not saying that I want Bale to go. Of course I'm not.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that I think he will go. And as you said already, he might sign a new contract, he might not. But we're just trying to have different conversations, move it along, not have the same old boring stuff all the time. So that's just an interesting little one. I mean, I just want to come up with a couple more ones and then we'll go because we've only got a few minutes left. I'm going to take back what I said about Benitez last week about how fantastically he's done, because the number of people that have said Chelsea have won another trophy this year as if it's the same. Oh, they won another European trophy. Every commentator, everybody on the train coming back, there was loads of Chelsea West Ham fans all on the train, which was very uncomfortable because they're all so blimmin' happy. You know, they were all chatting with each other going, oh yeah, well, you've won another European trophy, as if it's the same. It's not the same. And do you know why I know it's not the same? Because for the last 3 years, 2 years, everybody's told me it's not the same. So it's not me that's making up the rules. It's not Spurs fans that makes up the rules. It's these other sides in the Champions League that tell us constantly that Europa Cup is Mickey Mouse. But hang on a minute. As soon as Chelsea go and win it, all of a sudden it's another European trophy. And they've had a great, you know, they've had a great season. Well, wait there. You know, 4 years ago we won the League Cup, and it was Mickey Mouse. And then Arsenal went to the cup final and said, "Morning, finalists," and it was fantastic. And they didn't win it, so it went back to be Mickey Mouse again. So I'd love to know what the rules are for next year, because in my eyes, that Chelsea win might have actually legitimised the European Cup for us, a Europa Cup for us next year. So if we do win it, we do win it, and we say, "Yeah, well done," and they say it's Mickey Mouse. You say, "No, it's not." Not when you won it last year, of course. So that's a little one there.
That's right. While you're on that, what's your view on next season about the Europa League?
Do we do the same? No,
as it stands,
I'd like us actually to play a second string. Now, that doesn't mean the youngsters. That just means a few second string. I think Vertonghen played every one of those Europa games, and he needed a break. So for me, next year, it's Kabul and Vertonghen, our two main centre-backs, and Caulker and Dawson for certainly the Europa. I want to go for the League Cup. There's no need to go League Cup, play a totally second-string side, because we want to get the fitness up anyway, these guys, and it's the start of the season doing it. So you can get that up, and then you've got the FA Cup starting after Christmas. So I would play, you know, a lot of our best players, and I really, really want to go to Wembley again next year.
Yeah.
So, but with the Europa, I have to say, even though Chelsea have won it and it's another European Cup, and you know they've legitimised it by saying it's a massive thing, you know, I still think that I actually wouldn't mind for that cup just playing a few of the second string, because I thought we played too many of our first string players in that cup.
I 100% agree with you, and say we haven't chatted about this. I personally, next season, I want to. Exactly what you said. I want to go for the League Cup. I want to go for the FA Cup and really push on in the league again. I do think that we should play, you know, some of the reserve, maybe like a Tom Carroll.
Exactly. These guys are good players. You know, bring in Obika to play up front for some of these games.
Definitely. We have more chance of winning the League Cup than winning the Europa League.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, if we'd have won the League Cup this year and we'd have finished fifth, that would have been brilliant for us. Because we could have turned around and said, we won a trophy. And we that is a trophy that, first of all, was legitimised by Arsenal going for it a couple of years ago. And also, it's a trophy and it's a great day out. And those Swansea fans celebrating, you know, so much. On the subject of celebrating, Arsenal can by all means celebrate, right? They can by all means celebrate, but wait there. Don't then have a go at us for celebrating when we beat you. Now, that's why they can't celebrate like they've won the league. Because, for the last 3 or 4 years, every time we've beaten them or every time something's happened that's good for us, they say, oh, you're going to bring about a DVD. You're celebrating why you've won the league. And it's like, yeah, because we're happy. We've done something really good. And they're like too cool for school. And then all of a sudden, they do something that's relatively mediocre for them. They go celebrate like they've won the league. And we're not allowed to say a thing. I mean, it's just a double standards completely. Once again, Arsenal making up the rules. So there's another little one. Then we've got, just very lastly for me, because we've got literally 2 minutes left, Adrian Durham, of course, saying things like it's been AVB's been a failure. He was right all along. the trouble is, you know, it does get to you, and because people listen and they repeat. That's the problem with Adrian Durham, is when you have conversations with other people, they repeat what he says, and you're like, no, come on, let's think about it. You know, there's different emotions between being happy about what Spurs have done this year, and whether or not they've been successful, and whether or not AVB's been a failure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so we can be happy with the way that the season's gone in general, okay? We haven't been successful in qualifying for the Champions League, but then again, it's not been an unsuccessful season, and AVB has not been a failure. I mean, in this day and age when we're saying, you know, we've got to give managers time, you've got Adrian Durham there going, why isn't he being the sack, given the sack? You know, this 35-year-old bloke who's under so much pressure. And that's why I take it back about Benitez, by the way, because actually I said he was under a load of pressure. He's under no pressure because he was leaving at the end of the season. You get paid a load of money and, you know, it didn't matter whether he did well or not. Well, this is this guy, this 35-year-old's livelihood at stake. AVB was under so much pressure this year because this is life. You know, he's not a 55-year-old, 60-year-old manager who's done loads. This is it. You know, if he fails at Spurs, well, what's he going to do? And he didn't. He done very, very well for us. Made loads of mistakes, corrected a lot of mistakes, and he's got a few more to correct. But saying, you know, for 1 minute he says Spurs have got no ambition if they think that finishing fifth is good. And then when we say, no, I think we're going to finish fourth, he calls us delusional in the same sentence.
I know.
You know, you've got no ambition because you said finishing fifth is really good. And you reckon next season you're going to finish fourth? How delusional. You're like, well, how can you win? How can you possibly win? And, you know, that is unbelievable. I just think that next season, you know, we don't need to be so nervy in these games. I think AVB's thrown a lot of caution to the wind, played quite defensive in a lot of games. We've done too much possession football. We need to get it forward a little bit more. We need to have loads more shots and, you know, be a bit more attacking and really go for it. Be a bit more creative. And, you know, the future's lily white. As we invented before Andrew Spiriadors did on the Tottenham Fancast. Kev invented that years before, so we can use it, no problem.
Yes,
and that's all I've got to say about that.
You're right. And Andrew always gives Kev a good shout out at the end of a show about it as well, which is great. But look, you're right, Stephen, what you're saying. Look, to round it all off, I'm exactly the same. Look, AVB, we were all nervous when he came in. A lot of guys didn't want him with all the negativity around him. But look, I for one think he's had a fantastic first season with us. He's young, he's up and coming, he's got a lot of good ideas. The class of the man, did you see him at the end at the walk around the pitch? And he gave his tie to the disabled supporter.
Yeah.
You know, pure class, you know, out of the guy. And I for one, have really enjoyed him being our manager and really look forward. And I do think he'll get into Levy there. He'll get, hopefully, some early quality signings for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll move on, guys, next season. And as Steve said earlier, we'll go for a cup. You know, let's get a cup. You know, let's not all be all about Champions League. Yes, we'll want it. But let's see what players we'll get in, and then we can go for it. Go for it next season. And I for one, as Adam said, 89 days or 88 days to go. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah. We're going to carry on doing shows. You know, things come up and what have you. We've got a few people lined up to interview as well.
Yes.
So we carry on doing shows. You know, the best thing to do for you is to go to iTunes. If you click on subscribe to our show, you'll get it downloaded as soon as you plug in your iPhone or iPod or whatever. Or if you're on iCloud, I suppose you get them that way as well. And shows will pop up every now and again over the summer. We're certainly going to carry on. You know, there's loads to talk about, always is. You know, one very final question just before we go, Colin. Prediction, we both desperately want Bale to stay, but in our heart of hearts, Colin, is Bale going to stay?
Yes, in my heart of hearts, I believe that he will stay.
All right. I'm not just saying this just to go opposite to you, but I don't think he will, just because... you know, we look at it from a Spurs point of view, and we are born, you know, we're born into Spurs. We absolutely love Spurs. We've got to remember that Gareth Bale didn't grow up as Spurs, did he? He grew up in Wales. You know, chances are he was a Liverpool fan or a Man U fan or whatever. And I just think that, you know, and I don't think it's a financial thing. I think that, you know, just if they offer him, you know, the chance of Champions League football and a chance of winning the league, moreover, you know, Man United say, you know, this is the deal that he might go because it's Man United, it's the biggest club in the world, and you know they offer him this, that, and the other. I'd love him to stay, and I really want him to stay. And you know, you never know, he might have certain things. I mean, you know, he might say things like, "Are you going to let me play in the middle?" Because clearly that's where he wants to play now. You know, and if Man United say, well, no, you play where we tell you, but if AVB says, you know, we can secure, you know, you'll always have that place, that's what you might choose to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're going back and forth a little bit here, but I just have a feeling that unfortunately, this was the season that we said, this is, you know, please stay with us this season. And I think maybe he might go in this summer. You know, it's 50-50, but, you know, I think possibly he might go, depending on, you know, whether that offer comes in from Man United. I don't think he'll go abroad, and I think the only club he'll go to is Man United. That's the only thing I can see him doing.
I'll say, we shall see, we shall see. But we will discuss that over the summer months, and fingers crossed he'll still be a Spurs player.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Lovely.
Okay, mate. Well, come on, you Spurs.
Probably speak to you next week.
Okay, mate. Cheers.
Come on, you Spurs. Come on.